This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The hunt for hospitality workers in New York has become something of an economic puzzle. From the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. Will Bain in for Leanna. Again, great to have your company as we round out another week here on the Marketplace Morning Report. Yeah, hospitality businesses in New York City have been telling the BBC they want working visas for migrants to be fast-tracked as they struggle to fill job vacancies. But the city's authorities say they're struggling to cope with the number of people arriving in the city. The BBC's Erin Delmore has been taking a look.
For Colombia native Alexandra Gomez Castro, overwhelming joy.
When I received the work permit, I became filled with tears, a great emotion.
She says her heart is jumping when she finally gets a permit to work legally in New York City.
We have your work authorization.
She, her husband, and their three children are part of a large influx of migrants arriving in New York City, totaling more than 180,000 since 2022. They come from all over the world, many from South and Central America, fleeing threats of violence by foot and seeking asylum at the U.S. border.
We arrived with nothing because they took absolutely everything away during the journey.
There, she and her children were separated.
How would I explain to a 10-year-old girl the motive for which we came? It was hard for her to learn about the attempted murder of her mother and father.
Reunited, the family traveled further north to New York City, which uniquely provides shelter to anyone without housing. A nonprofit, Project Rousseau, handled her asylum application and secured her work permit. But not everyone finds their way through the complex forms and bureaucracy. They wait in old hotels and schools, now makeshift shelters teeming with new arrivals. City services are buckling. There are calls to send them back and close the border. Yet, business owners in the city say these new arrivals could be the answer to their labor shortages.
So I'm on a WhatsApp group with 300 restaurateurs. Everyone is asking all the time, do you have a line cook? Do you know of a manager? Do you have a waiter?
Migrants come by Barbara Sibley's Mexican restaurant, La Palapa, looking for work. But their path to legal work is slow and complicated.
The system is broken. These folks are here without the tools that they need to help me. It's that basic, right? I know for sure in New York City in the restaurant business, if the workers could work, we would have jobs.
Native-born workers don't make up as much of the U.S. workforce as they used to. The baby boomers are retiring, and birth rates have been falling for a while. So if the U.S. wants to keep up the size of its workforce, or grow it, immigrants and migrants are a readily available solution. Andrew Ridgie is the executive director of the New York Hospitality Alliance, a nonprofit that represents more than 4,000 restaurants, bars, and nightclubs.
So there are open jobs, and employers want to hire people, and they're open to hiring immigrants and migrants. Where's the holdup?
The holdup is basically the federal government. We need the federal government to take action to make it easier for people to come and fill these jobs. It's not like they're displacing New Yorkers, displacing Americans from working in their jobs. These are open jobs. It will contribute to our local economy, to our national economy.
For centuries, immigrants have traveled to the U.S. looking for work, attempting to create a better life for their families. In New York City, I'm the BBC's Erin Delmore for Marketplace.
Well, let's check in on the numbers now. Oil prices at the moment, pretty flat right now. That's despite a suspected retaliatory missile attacks from Israel into Iran overnight. Leaders in Europe this morning calling for restraint. Ursula von der Leyen, the European Union's Commission President, in the past few hours has said it is absolutely necessary that the region remains stable and that all sides restrain from further action. Elsewhere, also on commodity markets, we touched on surging cocoa prices at Easter, didn't we? Well, cocoa futures hit fresh highs yesterday, more than $11,500 per tonne, which is up 150% this year. Let's head out to the Pacific island of Palau for our final look at the slice of life there. It may only comprise of 180 square miles of land, but it actually controls more than 230,000 square miles of the Western Pacific Ocean. A few years ago, it banned fishing in those waters, but now the government wants to allow it again, as the BBC's Frey Lindsay reports.
So we're headed west, and we're going to deploy three different cameras along at different depths so that we can get a nice sample of what's living at the different depth zones.
Nearly a decade ago, the tiny Pacific nation of Palau pledged to ban commercial fishing from 80% of the seas it controls to make a marine sanctuary the size of France. The idea was to conserve the majority of Palau's ocean biodiversity and use that remaining 20% to bolster Palau's domestic fishing industry. But now, some people want change. I'm on an inflatable motorboat out near Palau, speeding away from the National Geographic Society's research vessel, the Argo, part of its Pristine Seas project. With me is lead marine scientist Whitney Goodall, two graduate students, and three high-tech deep-sea cameras. The cameras look like big gyroscopes, encased in glass and with big flags sticking out. They collect 4K video data and have sensors for tracking temperature, pressure, and dissolved oxygen.
So I'll just lower this down over the side. We're aiming for 2,000 meters on this one. Often at that depth, we see things like grenadiers or rat tails. Often we'll see cutthroat eels. Sometimes we'll see chimera, also known as ghost sharks, various types of crabs.
Palau was praised for its efforts to protect the biodiversity of its seas when its marine sanctuary came into effect in 2020. But current president Sarungal Whips Jr. wants to change things. He says the restrictions are costing Palau millions of dollars in lost government revenue every year, and he wants to make it more dynamic to reflect the way fish populations change and migrate over time, and therefore allow fishing activities in a bigger area of Palau's exclusive economic zone.
The size of the sanctuary, to me, is just a number. It should be relevant. What's the right size, and how does it really, at the end of the day, provide for the economic needs of the local people, but at the same time, ensure that we can continue to fish for generations to come.
President Whip spent some time on the Argo.
It's amazing, and that's what you need. That's what you need, data. You need good information. You need pictures. Pictures tell 1,000 words.
It's hoped the biodiversity data from the Argo will help map out a new sanctuary's borders. In Palau, I'm the BBC's Frey Lindsay for Marketplace.
And if you missed any of Frey's reporting, you can check it out on our podcast. Just search for the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.